Can we joke about religion?
Hello and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's an important question. Can we joke about religion? Many people take religion extremely seriously. Perhaps it's got a little bit too severe in some people's minds. Maybe it's a time to lighten up. Well, we'll be asking Clergyman Pete a little bit more detail. But it's true that if we look at certain scriptures, and ancient and modern, there is some amusing anecdotes in there, and we're going to explore those.
Yes, we
but
are.
But here's my view on religion, and I'm just going to give it to you, and of course, famously, in the form of a little poem. The Last Supper Miracle Menu. Jesus is a connoisseur. He turns all water into wine. His skills as a restaurateur makes the whole experience divine. Guzzling the spirits you prefer, ordering fish, you loaf about in line until you realize Jesus is an amateur when 5,000 dishes appear as you dine. Yes, that's a large meal. But Clergyman Pete, I do ask you this question.
Yes.
Are we right to question religion and even actually make humour about it?
Well,
you're a figure of fun.
Yeah, well, thank you, businessman Mark. Likewise. No, I think that not only should you joke about religion, laugh about religion, I think it's essential to be able to see the humour in anything, especially things that you take seriously. I mean, if you think about it, things we really take seriously, we have no choice about, like death and taxes, as has been pointed out before, a lot of humour is about them, about the IRS and about death. There's plenty and plenty of jokes. We will make jokes about things we take very seriously. So taking religion, and we're going to focus on Christianity here because that's what we know best. Christianity has a lot of humour in it. So not only do I see no problem with it, and not only do I think that it's healthy and shows how important we take it, if we are prepared to make jokes about it, not only do I think that it's because if you joke about something and you believe in it, it shows that you think it's pretty robust. You know, if you were scared to even joke about it, it might be that you didn't really believe it that much. But the chief figure in Christianity, Jesus Christ himself, used sarcastic humour pretty effectively as a rhetorical device. He was no stranger to pretty harsh jokes himself.
Well, yes, but let's just explore that in a little bit more detail. Sure. Now, I'm going to give you my view. Clearly, religion plays a part in people's lives, and it should do. Now, maybe there are some of our listeners who may say, no, it has no place at all. It doesn't even exist, and it's all a joke. Well, those people who are atheists or agnostics, well, we're going to try and convince you otherwise. But the point here is that when you do look through history, there is some amusing iconography, people with strained expressions on their face in the image, in sort of paintings.
That's true, yes.
Whether it be that there are some exasperated gestures, in some cases somewhat amusing, and they're sort of contorted scenes that almost seem impossible as physical
is that something
that one should laugh at?
Well, in their defense, if it's you're talking about something like a stained glass window, people are looking at it from a distance, so you know they need to exaggerate the expression. But sometimes it's simply that art has changed over the years, so we don't expect the same sort of representation. But I don't see the problem with it being humorous. One of the funniest scenes that's depicted quite often in stained glass windows, not as often as other scenes, but it's reasonably well represented, is Ascension Day. Now, on Ascension Day, we celebrate the time when Jesus went up into heaven. And so how do you represent that? How are you able to show that with a stained glass window image? It's quite difficult because stained glass windows, if you think about it, they end up looking quite static because you've got these bits of glass sort of edged with thick lines, the lines of the lead holding them in. They end up looking a bit static. I mean, you can get some sense of movement, but in general, they do look as though if you are doing something that's moving, like, for example, Jesus moving up into heaven, it still looks static. And in my favourites of them, the funniest, are where Jesus's 2 feet are hanging down. Actually, I'm just showing that, not great for radio, but I'm showing with my fingers his 2 feet hanging down. His 2 feet hanging down from the top of the scene depicted. So it just looks funny. It's like he's hanging up there and his feet are kicking. So if you can't see the humour in that, then maybe not particularly that. Maybe that's just me. But if you can't see the humour in some scenes, then there's something missing. Maybe you've had your laughter gland removed or something. There are funny things that happen in religious situations. If you can't laugh at them, there's just a possibility that it's because you haven't seriously looked at whether you believe it or not. If you're believing in something and you know that it's true, you can have a laugh about it and it doesn't matter. Not something mocking it. Again, mocking humour. Yeah, I think that's a waste of time when it comes to religion. But some things are just funny.
Well, let me ask you this. Some religions, it's very difficult, and almost by culture, that if you even poke a joke at any of these particular faiths, it it can have very serious repercussions. And yet, Clergyman Pete, am I right in thinking that if we take Christianity, for example, Jesus Christ certainly wasn't a dour individual. He had a bit of a sarcastic sense of humour.
Yeah, well, as I was alluding to earlier, now, Jesus had a sharp tongue as well as being able to create a little short stories, these parables that he told, which just encapsulated a truth that he was trying to get across. They were also pretty cutting. Just to give you one example, there's a story which people often know, even if they don't know any of the other parables, which is the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal being someone who goes and wastes everything. So he goes off, takes all his father's money and he spends it, loses it all. He ends up, where does he end up? Now, if you're from Jewish or other religions that don't eat pork, it's just funny that he ends up eating the pig food. You know, he's eating the food of the pigs that he's having to feed. It's just a funny situation. But it wasn't just that sort of humour. He would describe his opponents who were very religious in the sense they wanted people to obey rule after rule after rule. And he described them as whitewashed tombs. You know, like, I suppose in today's language it'd be better, because he wasn't saying it in a pompous way, whitewashed tombs, which these days sounds, the English has changed. You know, tomb is an unusual use of the word. You might say, you're getting people to obey all these little rules, and now they've got very, very clean, spotlessly clean graves to stay in. You know, that's the sort of idea. He's using humour to combat their being very judgmental over other people. So I think Jesus was funny and used it in his stories as recorded in his criticism of others. So if he was funny like that in public, he must have been a real hoot in private, wasn't he?
Well, indeed. I'm going to mention that I would have thought that whilst miracles, as I sort of alluded to at the beginning, are sort of amusing in themselves, but surely those acts in themselves must have made people not only sort of look on agog, but also have a sense of, with a wry sense of humour. Yeah. I mean, the idea of walking on water. I know that you've tried it many a time, and it's always gone wrong.
I just wait for the ice to freeze, then I'm fine.
Well, indeed, yes, that's good idea. But surely that those sort of miracles were there to obviously make a point, but there is an element of humour behind it, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest.
I'm just going to say outright here that I believe that these miracles happened. There's reasons for me believing that. Listen to some of our other shows. We have some shows dedicated to religion and belief in religion on this channel, so take a look. But I think that some of them were intended to be funny, not just to surprise and point out something particular. And walking on water is one in particular. It's a ridiculous thing to do.
Yes.
It's a ridiculous thing that you shouldn't be able to do.
And so,
don't do it, exactly. And in one of the incidents when Jesus meets with his disciples and he's walking on water, He acts as though he's going to walk past them on the water. You know, you can imagine him. You know, he's walking along, going past, and just waving. Yeah, bye, bye. As though he does that every day. Just strolls past them on the water, and it highlights the ludicrous nature of it. But it being ludicrous, it also highlights the fact that you shouldn't be able to do that. The fact that he can does it points out something about him, which the scripture is trying to convey. So, yeah, I think you're right, that a lot of the miracles get their force from the fact that they're quite funny. Mm. There's when Peter, the Apostle Peter, goes and prays for someone to be healed, and he raises them up from the dead. No, actually, I'm confusing it. Actually, I'm confusing it with when Jesus goes in.
Yes, and that in itself is amusing.
Yeah. Peter went in and prayed for someone. Yes, that's true. But I'm remembering the incident when Jesus goes in and prays for someone, and they get up and they're hungry and they want something to eat. You know, that's the first thing. So people will be wailing and crying. Suddenly the person gets up and she needs something to eat, the first thing. Well, you should have thought of that, shouldn't you? Let me think of one. Oh, yeah, actually, maybe one of the big miracles, the feeding of the 5,000.
Yes.
In that particular incident, you have the disciples of Jesus asking him, what are we going to do? All these people have followed us to this remote spot. There's nowhere to get food. And we only have these few loaves and fish. What are we going to do? And Jesus says, well, go and feed them yourself. You know, go and do that. And they say, well, what can he do? And he performs this miracle. In that, as they pass the food around, they eventually have more than enough to eat. Now, there are two ways of taking that miracle. One is that it is miraculously multiplied. The other is, though, that it obscures what I think. In my mind, I heard this, him saying that. Yeah, but what I would have said, the obvious thing to say is not that. The obvious thing to say is, why didn't they bring their own food? They knew they were coming out to a remote spot. Couldn't you at least have packed a light lunch to eat? But instead, Jesus, does this action whereby he blesses the food and each one gets one. And then comes the funny bit. Funny the first time you hear it, if you were there at the time. You know, it's like a lot of these jokes, you had to be there. When they've finished eating it all, they gather up baskets and baskets of leftovers afterwards. You know, the humour is in the excess of it. So we shouldn't blind ourselves to the humour of these situations in the Bible, because some of them are deliberately ridiculous. So some of them are just funny because of how outlandish they are.
Well, we know, as we actually do really know, in the truth, if you look at the details in between the lines on the Bible, really you just ordered a takeaway. For up to 5,000 people.
Yes. I mean, I think it was, you know, it was
not
Uber
many
Eats,
people want to talk about that, but that's really what happened. So, but I'm going to turn it another way around, and I'm going to ask you that a few thousand years ago now that Jesus walked this fair earth and probably looked upon us all with great amusement.
I think so.
He must be laughing, and as would God, I guess, at this moment, thinking, what on earth could possibly be more amusing than the way that mankind has got itself into such a terrible state? Yes. We've had wars, we've had famines, pandemics, we've had, you know, many stupid decisions from individuals and groups. Yes. And yet, you know, nothing seems to be learned. So I ask you, Clergyman Pete, if wherever we are being observed from, I would imagine that the higher powers and beings that have created us must be wondering, surely this joke cannot go on much longer.
Now, the listeners could correct me, but a wise man once said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I'm just thinking of Boris Johnson planning his premiership, and then COVID-19 happens. But I don't think we have to imagine what God is doing as he sees people mocking him or living in ways, you know, deliberately living in ways that he knows are wrong. And it's or even people who are building themselves up as being grand and important and successful. I've got a couple of verses in front of me here. This is Psalm 59, verse 8. But you, O Lord, laugh at them. you scoff at all the nations. Psalm 2, verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. And Psalm 37, verse 13, the Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. You see, there is a judgment day coming at some point. And so God looks into the future and sees this, and then looks at these people puffing themselves up, seeing themselves as being important and leading people astray or being cruel and being despots. And he just has a laugh because he says, I can see judgment day coming, boyo. You better get your act in order. So that's me. That last bit was my personal translation of the verse. But you get the idea that God has a really good laugh at some of the things that are going on amongst us humans.
Hmm. Yes. Now, I wanted to talk about, just to sort of end on perhaps more of a faith from different parts of the world.
Sure.
People have different religions, and often, as we've seen over the centuries, where religions have fueled many a conflict, it's been a serious matter. Why is it then that religious movements often are the cause of wars or violence on the streets and perhaps the angst in individuals? Is there a way, is there a message, Clergyman Pete, that you give to those individuals who perhaps are just so wrapped up in the position of their religion that perhaps they can't see the bigger picture and maybe need to get a bit of a sense of humour?
They need to get a bit of a sense of humour, but I know what you're talking about in terms of people getting so serious and wrapped up in their own particular version of religion or how people should behave that they go and cause more trouble in their demonstrations on the streets or they go and try and put things wrong right, but they do commit violent acts to do it, thus making things worse. And yeah, they do need to think of this, consider that I need to take things seriously, ideas seriously, God seriously, other people seriously, but don't take myself too seriously. Because, you know, Jesus obviously didn't. He accepted worship, but then he went and walked on water. You know, we have these, we have this as an example of someone who took his mission very, very seriously. And the fact that God the Father loved him very, very seriously, and so was confident enough to be able to have a laugh. And I think we can learn from that. In the Bible, we read of people who took themselves too seriously, being not only judged and having judgment meted out on them, but also funny things happening to ridicule their pomposity. And I know I've told this story before, but this will be the last bit I tell for the Bible in this episode. The King Eglon in the book of Judges in the Bible. Now, to us these days, even the word Eglon sounds funny, but I've no evidence that it did at the time. He was a king who was extremely extremely self-serving, and one day Ehud came up to him to kill him. He'd been tricked into getting him close, so he'd been so pompous that he was too trusting, I suppose, he was overconfident. But Ehud the king was so fat that when the sword was put into him, the handle disappeared as well, and it sort of swallowed it up. I know it's a bit like a horror movie, but horror and comedy are so close, you know. So in his treatment of him, I'm talking about God's treatment of him, because God wasn't the one who did the stabbing, but it was God's judgment on him, we can say, for his behaviour. There's not only, right, this is the justice you deserve, but there's also a humour which makes it memorable. People remember, yeah, we're going to do what God says. So remember, God has a laugh and he's in control of life and death. So, you know, you don't want him laughing at you. Make sure he's laughing with you.
Well, indeed. I think probably he's laughing at the Mark and Pete show, I can imagine.
We're big fans.
Of course. But the thing here is, just as a close out, it's interesting how humour does change. For example, many people thought that The Life of Brian, which was a film I still think is one of the funniest
and really about Jesus,
time by Monty Python team, was seen as being blasphemous at the time. And many people will notice that in recent times, cinema-goers will realize that actually now that it's been downgraded from an X-rated film, which is how it was positioned originally in the when it was first distributed, to basically, I think it's a 12 or a 12A. Yeah. And so, of course, for some reason now, it is no longer deemed to be offensive.
It's okay to laugh at Christians.
The point here is maybe now is the time for a Monty Python-style film on religion generally. But what do you think? So, listeners, we would love to hear your thoughts on what could be parodied, what religion would you like to see brought to the cinema screen, or maybe some idea of a whimsical view on somebody's perhaps faith or view of God. Why not log on to markandpete.com and let us know your thoughts. But if you think about religion generally, just think about Clergyman Pete. That's what I always think. It's very
always
amusing.
Good for a laugh.
Always good for a laugh. And of course, whether you're a little devil out there or whether you're a saintly little figure, it's always about divine comedy. The wayward would wax lyrical, that religion is purely empirical, as Satan's way of being satirical. Now, that would be a miracle. Yes, Clergyman Pete. Well, join us again next time for more topical topics with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.